It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is time for California Wine Country on this Wine Wednesday, brought to you by the folks at Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. We don't know if, have you heard from Barry?
No, he never got back to me.
Okay.
So, don't know.
We don't know if Barry, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, is coming in or not. But, of course, my co-host Dan Berger on this twice award-winning, internationally award-winning radio segment, California Wine Country, is with me. And I can't believe that Hank hasn't been in before. We've had Alexander Valley Vineyards in before, but Harry Hank Wetzel. The third.
Yes, the third.
There's three of you.
There's actually five of us.
Wow. You got two kids? Are they the fourth and fifth? Or?
My grandson is Harry Wetzel the fifth.
No kidding. Very cool.
He goes by Henry.
You go by Hank, right?
Yes.
Okay. Great to meet you. I still think you've been in before, but what do I know? It's been 9 years, and I'm old and decrepit. Let me turn it to you, Dan. And, I mean, Alexander Valley Vineyards. And they have been in before, maybe the winemaker or some marketing people or whatever. But, I mean, it's iconic in Sonoma County.
Absolutely, yeah. Iconic brand. And it's been around since 75. I tasted the wines when they first came out in 76. That was my first year of actual wine writing.
Wow.
So I've been doing it for 41 years, and they've been in business just as long as I've been writing. I tasted the 75 Chardonnay, loved it. Fabulous wine. It was not made with malolactic fermentation. Therefore, the wine had good acidity and held up in the bottle. Beautiful, beautiful wines. And this is a great example of that, the one we're having now. What vintage is this? 15?
This is the 2015. 15.
I've had prior vintages of Chard from AVV, and just blows me away. This one may be my favorite of all time.
Thank you. Well, Kevin Hall has taken over the winemaking from me many years ago, and he's producing this in a style that's similar to what I produced in 1975, but there's about 25% of this that does go through malolactic. And then the other 75% never sees wood at all, so the fruit level is kept really high with good, crisp acidity. And then those two portions are blended right before the wine goes into the bottle.
I do this every once in a while just for our non-wine drinkers or our non-wine aficionados. Explain malolactic and the whole deal.
It's a somewhat mysterious secondary fermentation where malic acid bacteria convert naturally occurring malic acid that's in the grape juice to lactic acid, the same acid that's in fermented cabbage or other fermented foods creates a buttery component when that happens. The acid is less tart, and so it adds some complexity to the aroma of the wine. And all of our red wines go through a full malolactic fermentation to reduce the acid a little bit.
Okay. But this Chardonnay has a bit.
About a quarter of it, about 25% of it.
And tell me why I love this so much, Dan.
Well, I think it's a balance between acidity and softness. And yeah. So the softness is not from sugar in any way, shape, or form. This is just the richness comes from the malolactic portion, but the three-quarters of this wine is really fresh fruit, and it's delicious. Man. It smells a little bit like apple juice, but then there's all fresh apples. It's gorgeous wine.
Hank, tell the story here. You and your wife, Maggie, purchased the historic Cyrus Alexander Homestead, right?
Actually, my father,
okay,
Harry H. Wetzel, Jr., and my mother, Maggie, purchased the property from the Alexander family, for whom the valley is named,
right,
in 1962. The Alexanders had lived there since the 1840s.
Wow.
They're actually buried on the property in a little family cemetery plot next to the tasting room. And they were running it as a cattle ranch. My mother and father traveled, my father on business in Europe. He had been exposed to French wines and felt there was a decent future in growing grapes in the Alexander Valley, and he never dreamed of what that might become.
So you grew up in Alexander Valley.
I did, and I spent, at first, my parents were absentee owners, so at first I just spent a few weeks there in the summer, but then I became enamored with winemaking, and I had a lot of different jobs, apprentice-type jobs. I worked at Simi Winery in Healdsburg, and I worked at Freemark Abbey in Napa and Joseph Phelps, and a small little winery called Stony Hill. I've learned a lot from those apprentice jobs. And attended UC Davis, graduated with a degree in winemaking, met my wife Linda there, and we started our winery in 1975. And we had great success at first and then struggled quite a bit during the 1980s as we were trying to grow production, and sales were tough. But from the 90s on, it's been pretty consistent, healthy growth for us, and it's been exciting to watch the wine business become accepted all over the United States.
Yeah, and certainly here in the North Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Dan?
Yeah, this has been an iconic property for reasons of winemaking quality more than anything else, but also the beautiful property. As you drive up 128, you go into the Alexander Valley, you see this property along the side of the road there. It's a big, large property, but it's beautifully put together. And the visits are really enjoyable. The old farm, what do you call it, the schoolhouse you've got on the property there is a historic building. You want to talk a little bit about that schoolhouse?
That was a project that my mother and father worked hard on. That my mother bought the schoolhouse from more Chardonnay?
Yeah, more Chardonnay.
That's one of the greatest Chardonnays I've had in a long time.
From Lydia Goodyear, who owned the Jimtown store. She was using it as a storage barn and a barn for her feed store. And my mother told her she wanted to restore it and turn it into a guest house, and she finally agreed to sell it to my parents. They moved it about a quarter of a mile down the highway, and we use it a lot. As part of our effort to familiarize customers with our wines, bring them on the property, have them spend the night there. We can show them all the vineyards that we have and sit down and have a meal with them and taste through all the wines.
So, very cool.
Yeah, and being one of the earliest properties to really produce high-quality wine in Alexander Valley gave you a big head start. You didn't know it at the time, of course.
we didn't know it at the time, but in those early days, Linda and I, with our youngest baby, would hop in the van and drive to San Francisco, and you'd walk into any restaurant or store and sell a case of wine to somebody. So we remember those days fondly. It was a lot of fun.
Hank Wetzel III, and there's two more. He's proprietor and general manager at Alexander Valley Vineyards. How long? You were the winemaker.
I produced all the wines until Kevin Hall came to work for me in 1998, I believe, first as assistant winemaker. And he fairly quickly became the head winemaker because I was doing a lot more sales travel, and I was just stretched a little too thin be able to do everything. And I love to tell people he makes better wine than I ever did. He's been a great asset to our business and has helped us grow our production. So we're in a good place right now with him helping us.
Dan, talk about this and explain the Dan Berger wine tasting thing. And this wine won it.
Yeah, the Dan Berger International Wine Competition was held about a month ago at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. And we started the competition 37 years ago, so we've had a little bit of time with it. Our judges are all pretty much all winemakers and professionals in the industry. And so when we get given an award, it's a big deal because even a bronze is worth a lot. This got a gold medal, actually got a double gold medal and became the best rosé in the competition, and this is really an achievement. This is a fabulous wine. It's a Sangiovese rosé made with almost no sugar, But what
it's completely dry.
Well, what you have here is such richness from the fruit. There's strawberries and raspberries in the aroma.
No, I got strawberries the second it hit my tongue.
Yeah, it's a really gorgeous wine. And if people don't understand how dry rosé can be, this is the way it gets. This is the best.
I was mentioning to Dan earlier that I'm so pleased to see the American public enjoy a really dry style of rosé like this.
Yeah,
I couldn't have sold this 20 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we've talked about this every week.
Bottle Barn is going nuts with rosé now.
They did a big thing at the Hyatt that was just a rosé thing.
Tasting, yeah.
You know, rosé tasting. And as the late, great Ben Pearson, our good friend from Bottle Barn, would say on this show, he was my co-host before Dan, and then unfortunately he passed away almost a year ago. But, you know, he would say things like, guys don't mind drinking pink wine anymore, you know, and it's come such a long way, and it's huge. Mm-hmm. And we've had so many amazing rosés come through here on Wednesdays.
Yeah, we're really fortunate.
This Sangiovese.
Top stuff.
Yeah. What's the price point on this?
We sell this for $15 in the tasting room.
Holy crap!
Isn't that ridiculous?
That is ridiculous. And are most of these at Bottle Barn, too?
Yeah, they'll be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's making a good deal of this. How much of this do you make?
We're getting up there. We're making almost 6,000 cases of this now. We released the wine March 1st, and we have an allocation that we've held back for our selling retail at the winery, but most of our the wine that's out into the three-tier system has already been purchased.
This is amazing. A dry rosé of Sangiovese 2016.
And the secret to this wine, I think, is the delicate hand that the winemaking has allowed the fruit to really show up in the nose as well as in the mid-palate and in the finish. The aftertaste is dry enough, but it's not austere. Mm-hmm. It's got so much fruit in it that it tastes succulent.
And because it's dry, I think it goes really well with a lot of different food choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm looking at the website. I already screwed it up thinking that you and your wife, Maggie, your wife is Linda.
Correct.
Of course, your parents bought the Alexander, Cyrus Alexander estate. But I'm looking at this, and this always fascinates me. 1961, jet aircraft played a crucial role at Alexander Valley Vineyards. What is that?
Well, I mentioned that my parents traveled in Europe a lot, and that's because my father was in the aerospace business, and one of his biggest projects almost put him out of business, and that was the creation of a small jet turbine to be used on corporate aircraft, in turbine pumps, and they developed these turbines, built foundries to manufacture them. And had many failures before they finally succeeded. Oddly enough, once they began to sell these turbines for small jet engines, they found other markets. Power generators use the turbines. The auxiliary power units, which run electricity and air conditioning on a jet when it's sitting on the ground, are almost all from his company.
Wow.
And the biggest product of all became turbochargers, which he never even envisioned.
But he made a couple bucks.
He did. moving into the wine business was a little like that turbine project, because it takes so long to establish your winery. You have to buy so much equipment and, of course, plant the grapes and wait for them to begin producing a crop. And for instance, we just picked the first Sangiovese grapes for this rosé off an 8-acre vineyard, and that project we started 5 years ago. So it's you're really betting that that rosé is going to be popular 5 years out when you start that project. So
got to have a crystal ball,
and that
pretty much,
and that you know that. That Sangiovese project, in some ways, is similar to what my father went through with this turbine project.
I like the analogy. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. My co-host Dan Berger, as always, and Hank Wetzel the third. And as I always say, there's two more behind him, so there's the fourth and the fifth as well. But he is proprietor and general manager of Alexander Valley Vineyards. It's a pleasure to meet you and have you here. Dan?
Oh. Well, we have a red wine, a Cabernet, coming up here. Steve, you're getting it right now. Alexander Valley actually grew Cabernet before it grew almost anything else. Well, there were obviously Zinfandel in there as well, but Cabernet was discovered in the Napa Valley by Justin Meyer when he came through in early 70s, probably about 71. He was a wine buyer. He was a grape buyer for the Christian Brothers.
Really?
And then he founded Silver Oak Cellars, and that's history. But this area was really Cabernet country for a long time and still is to a great degree. Hank, tell us about that.
We produce a lot of estate Cabernet Sauvignon. It's our best-selling wine, and that's why I brought it today, so you could have a chance to taste it.
2015?
Yes.
Okay.
And at its price point, it's a great value. It has a real strong place in the market, a good niche. Interestingly, I found some photographs of my father delivering Cabernet Sauvignon to Robert Mondavi Winery in 1967.
Wow.
Which was the first crop that we picked. And we've always grown a lot of Cabernet Sauvignon, and we're producing more of it now than we ever have. It's a great variety that does extremely well in the Alexander Valley.
How many acres of cab do you have growing?
I'm going to guess about 90 acres of Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's a lot of acres, yeah.
Yeah, out of a total of about 230 acres.
But it's all Sonoma County?
All Sonoma County, all Alexander Valley.
Oh, right, of course. Makes sense. Your thoughts on this cab?
Classic Cabernet nose with leafy sort of olivey component, a little bit of the black cherries and ripe red cherries as well. The nice thing here is that the oak is really under control, so the wine really speaks to the fruit. It doesn't pander to the oak, and the oak is there just to support it, but it's not really evident.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the Alexander Valley tends to produce Cabernet Sauvignons that are a little bit softer than their Napa Valley counterparts.
Yes, which I got off of Cabernet Sauvignon a while ago. Sort of, I kind of pick and choose. I used to like it a lot, but then I think, and a lot of it had to do with the Napa cabs that I used to say it would slap me in the face. It was just too much. Well, this is soft.
Yeah, plus Cabernet can be a little alcoholic sometimes. What's the alcohol
that too
in this? This isn't too bad.
If I can find it,
14-something. 14.4?
Which is 14.0.
Okay, there you go.
That's low.
Yeah, that's low.
For a cab.
Well, these days, 15% all over the world, and that's a normal number. 14 is a moderate number.
So. What are the highlights of this for you, Dan?
Well, I just love the mid-palate fruit. You smell it. It's beautiful, beautiful aroma with that beautiful herb component, a little bit of dried herbs. But then in the mid-palate, you get so much fruit. It's a really delicious wine. And nice structure. It'll go with steak. It'll go with some salmon. But it basically is aimed at going with food. Some kind of food.
Well, this rosé of Sangiovese, which won the top award at Dan's International wine competition last month, is unbelievable. The Chardonnay has always been one of my favorites, but this new one may be the best I've had when it comes to Alexander Valley Vineyards.
I think you're really looking at an evolution in terms of style, and I think that's wonderful. I think your winemaking team has really done a hell of a job.
We've been tweaking the style a little bit and trying to bring alcohol levels down ever so slightly, maybe only 0.2%.
Which can mean a lot, right?
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah.
And we're also doing more in dry styles, as you see in the rosé.
Yeah.
And the Chardonnay is a style that we're going to continue with and perhaps even emphasize the fruit more.
Well, it's all great stuff. Go to avvwine.com. That's Alexander Valley Vineyards. avvwine.com. Get their best stuff over at Bottle Barn. And
visit the property because it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it really is cool. I was there once, I don't know, 8 years ago maybe?
Please come and visit. I'd love to show you around. I live right next to the winery.
Yeah, 128 in Healdsburg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's beautiful stuff. avvwine.com. Harry Hank Wetzel III, and as I always say, there's two more behind him. He's the proprietor and general manager of Alexander Valley Vineyards, avvwines.com, or wine.com. Great to meet you. I still think you've been in before because you look familiar, and we've had Alexander Valley Vineyards in at some point. But
it might have been with my sister Katie, who...
I
think she's been on the show once before.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because we've been doing this 9 years, and we have 50 guests coming through here a month, and I'm too old to remember everybody. Dan, we got less than a minute. Any thoughts on next week? Do we know yet?
Who do I have for next week? it's all lined up. It's in the memo I sent you.
Okay.
What can I remember?
Well, who cares? It's going to be good, no matter what. We'll see you next Wednesday. Hank, great to see you.
Thank you for having me.